Now I'm turning to the third file of the lecture on the population perspective. In this part, we will touch on several aspects of population structure and transformation, including population age structure, growth, fertility, fertility momentum, the demographic transition, and population aging. The age structure and sex ratio of a population are often portrayed in a population pyramid, such as those shown in this slide. A population pyramid is constructed by drawing a series of horizontal bars stacked one on top of the other. The bars represent age strata and generally have the same height, for example, representing five-year age bands. The width of the bars is drawn to correspond to the proportion of all males on the left and all females on the right who fall into that age band. Since age and gender are such fundamental characteristics in many areas of life, including health, the age and gender structure of a population, as presented in its population pyramid, tell us a lot about the population. The graph in this slide shows population pyramids for three different countries, illustrating three basic population structures. On the left, the pyramid for Kenya depicts a rapidly growing population. How can we see that from the pyramid? The narrow middle and top and widening base indicate that each new birth cohort coming in at the bottom is larger than the previous one immediately above it. With the passage of time, each age band moves up the pyramid so that these larger cohorts are expanding the total population as they climb up the pyramid. High adult mortality rates help to narrow the pyramid at the top. The center pyramid on the slide shows the United States, a slow-growth population. The bands at the base are narrower than those in the middle, indicating a lower fertility rate. The bulge in the middle corresponds to birth years 1945 to 1965, approximately the baby boom. The pyramid for Denmark on the right depicts a population with zero growth. The next slide shows the U.S. population by age and sex in 1900, 1970, 2000, and 2030. The graph for 1900 in the upper left of the slide actually looks like a pyramid, as did the one for Kenya. The slope of the sides of the U.S. pyramid is somewhat different, though, corresponding to a lower birth rate and perhaps higher infant mortality. The United States in 1900 was growing from immigration as well as births, which also makes for a steeper pyramid. The pyramid in the upper right, 1970, looks markedly different, almost as if the 1900 pyramid had a girdle placed around the 30 to 39-year age band so that the younger population was not being allowed to age. The narrowing in the age groups from ages 25 to 39 in the upper right pyramid for 1970 reflects the decline in fertility during the Great Depression of the 1930s and World War II. Children born in 1944 were 26 in 1970. See my picture in the graph, kind of like Where's Waldo? Those born in 1939 were 31 in 1970, and those born in 1930 were 40. The younger age bands, ages 5 through 24, show the baby boom. In this way, population pyramids display the reproductive history of a population. Reflecting on the shape of the 1970 pyramid with its substantially greater ratio of youth to parents, it's no wonder that the 1960s and 70s were such a transforming time in the United States. And of course, the same was true in much of the rest of the world. Coming closer to home, chronologically speaking, the lower left pyramid for the year 2000 shows the boomers at maturity and the boomlet of their offspring. In the spirit of Where's Waldo, find my picture next to the caption men. By 2030, I predict that funding for the National Institute on Aging, the NIA, will have eclipsed that for the NICHD, the National Institute of Child and Human Development, both in the National Institutes of Health. Now, on the next slide, moving to the other side of the globe, this graph shows population growth in India from 1901 to 1995. The second country to pass the 1 billion population mark, India is home to about one-sixth of the world's population. The population growth curve mirrors that for the world as a whole. Each year, there are more women in their reproductive years, and even with the same fertility rate or a declining fertility rate, there are more babies added to the population. If the curve were redrawn to show the percentage increase in population each year, or, for example, by plotting the data on a logarithmic scale, the decline in growth rate would be visible. The next slide has a graph that shows trends in fertility, mortality, and natural increase in India during the same period, revealing the dynamics of India's population growth. The birth rate has declined during most of the century. The death rate has declined more rapidly, however, an achievement of public health measures. The difference between the two is called the rate of natural increase, the shaded area on the slide, and constitutes one component of the population growth rate. The other component is immigration, which in the case of India is relatively minor. The rate of natural increase, the shaded area on the slide, grew rapidly from 1921 to 1971, when the birth rate began to decline more steeply. This pattern illustrates what has been called the demographic transition, which we describe on the next slide. The demographic transition is a general pattern of changes in death rates, population growth, and birth rates that appears during the process of modernization. Demographers distinguish four stages. Stage 1, at the left, is the period before the transition begins. Birth rates are high, but so are death rates, so population size is stable. The transition period begins when death rates fall as improvements in agricultural productivity, economic development, and introduction of modern sanitation, immunization, improved nutrition, and other public health measures become available. However, cultural values, considerations of personal security, financial security, for example, personal preferences, and the priorities of the health professions focusing on mortality rather than family planning continue to support the high birth rate. The population begins to grow rapidly. The transition from stage 2 of very rapid population growth to stage 3 begins when, under the influence of such factors as the effects of land shortages, urbanization, education of women, and introduction of family planning programs, the birth rate begins to decline. In stage 3, the decline in the birth rate exceeds that in the death rate, which comes to stabilize at a low level. Population growth continues, but at a declining rate. In stage 4 at the right, the transition has been completed. The birth rate has joined the death rate at a stable low rate, and the population size remains stable. The next slide shows a graph of the total fertility rate. We've been talking about declining fertility rates in India, and this slide shows the decline in total fertility between 1970 and 1992 for all India, rural women, and urban women. And of course, the graph for the urban women is considerably below that for rural women and for India. India was predominantly a rural population, so the graph for rural women is very similar to the graph for all of India. As you can see, there has been a substantial decline in total fertility, which is the number of births born to women during their reproductive lifetime, in a sense, and I'll explain total fertility in just a second. Let's look first, though, on the next slide, which shows the decline in Chinese fertility. A much less steady process, with a substantial decline in the late 1950s during the Cultural Revolution, followed by a rebound in fertility, and then a steady decline, almost steady. Once again, we see the lower fertility rate for urban women, at least since 1963, than in rural women. The total fertility rate is explained on the next slide. Total fertility summarizes the current fertility rates by imagining a cohort of women moving through their reproductive age years. The concept is much like that of life expectancy. It is a synthetic measure, a summarization of a set of measures in order to be able to present them in a single number. It is not exactly the number of births to a woman because this is a hypothetical cohort of women who would be going through life at a different period of time than the rates we're summarizing. The next slide shows a calculation of the total fertility rate. There are four columns. One for the age band, five-year age bands. Second column for the number of births to women in that age band. The third column for the number of women in that age band. And then a column for the fertility rate, which we calculate. And these data would all apply to a particular year, for example. So, for example, the fertility rate for 15 to 19-year-old women is calculated as 5,000 births, to women in that age group during that year, divided by 48 million, the number of women at the midpoint of that year, women 15 to 19 at the midpoint of the year, giving us a fertility rate of 0.104, which could be written as 104 per thousand. So the way this works is that we've just calculated a fertility rate of 104 per thousand for women who were 15 to 19, which would mean that if we had 1,000 15-year-olds, we would expect 104 babies to be born to them. If we don't worry about the fact that it's hard for women to have one baby after another, we would expect that of the 1,000 15-year-olds, they would give birth to 104 babies, and then when they turn 16, 1 year later, they would give birth to another 104 babies, and when they turn 17, 1 year later, they would give birth to another 104 babies, and so on. And when they reach 20, they would then give birth to 136 babies, because 20-year-olds are in the group that has a fertility rate of 0.136, or 136 per thousand. And so on as we go from year to year between ages 15 and 44. Much as for life expectancy, we moved from birth to death. So if we added up all these babies being born, and there are quite a few of them, and then divide by the 1,000, because there were 1,000 women, we would find that we had 2.68 babies born to women, each woman, during her reproductive lifetime on the average. There would be 2,680 babies born, and we have 1,000 women, so the average comes out to 2.68 births per woman, and that is the calculation of the total fertility rate. Note that, as with life expectancy, this is a summarization of these fertility rates in a given year. By the time the 15-year-old women were 35, for example, it would be 20 years later, and the fertility rates would undoubtedly have changed. So this is a hypothetical measure which summarizes what's going on. This next slide shows the population pyramid for China's population by age and sex in 1990. This is an interesting pyramid, and as you can see, there is a dramatic constriction in the ages, about age 30 and 31 and 32, which corresponds, as you would expect, to the dramatic constriction in the fertility, the dramatic reduction of fertility that occurred in the late 1950s and 1960 as a result of the Cultural Revolution. And if you look at the slide, you see that the birth year for people at each age is written to the right, and you see that that constriction lines up at the late 1950s, early 1960s. So that is an example of some of the population considerations that we've been talking about in demography. And now in the fourth part, I'm just going to run very briefly through a number of slides. I'll say a few things about them. You can actually stop here if you want. It's been a long lecture, and I don't mean to keep you much longer. So I'll just say that for those, I'll just say a little bit more for those of you who are interested, but you don't need to continue on it anymore. Thank you very much, and here's part four.